Hey guys, Trevor here with eCommerce Paradise. Welcome to today's video. I'm going to talk to you about customer service and sales for high-ticket dropshipping. If this is your first time watching the channel, or you are a seasoned entrepreneur and you've been doing our videos for a long time, either way, you can get our free niches list for high-ticket dropshipping at ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, smash that like button. Let's get into the video. All right, guys, so it goes without saying that high-ticket dropshipping requires some customer service and sales to make it successful, right? Obviously, you're going to be selling your own through your own store and direct to the public, okay? So you're going to be selling your supplier's products, but as a middleman, you're going to have to do the customer service and sales and the follow-up and everything so that you can continue to make a profitable business. So in the very beginning, it's really important that you understand the foundations of good, solid customer service and sales and follow-up, okay? If you haven't ever taken a school course or like an online course on business communication or on customer service or sales training at all, I would definitely highly recommend getting to a really good in-depth course. At the college I went to when I was younger, I took a business communication class, and it taught me some really good things about how to communicate in a business environment. I also took a business law course that taught me about the specifics behind liability in business and the way you should word certain things when you're making statements to a customer, okay? And this comes in handy, especially when your customers have problems with you, okay? You have to be really careful what you say to them, or else you could put yourself at risk of liability. So, first things first, with customer service, it's really important to understand how you should speak to the customer. You should always have a friendly tone when you speak to a customer, okay? It means, you know, you have good energy, positive energy, whether it's through an email or through a phone call or, you know, live chat or something like that. You're going to want to convey a sense of positivity to your customer and optimism and empathy, okay? So what does empathy mean? Empathy is simply you understanding your customer and where they're coming from and their needs and their problems and putting that energy out there that you really do care. Okay, it's really important because when people have, especially when they're emotionally upset about something, maybe they got a bad product, like it arrived and it's damaged, or they tried it out and it doesn't work and they've already spent the money to get it. So they feel in that moment buyer's remorse. They feel that they bought this product, but now they're upset with themselves that they bought it because they got a bad deal. They're blaming everything else around them, you know? Some people are, generally speaking, better customers than others. Like, some customers are just major problem customers, and it just has to do with them as a person, okay? Some people are really bad about leadership and responsibility skills, okay? So they're not able to take responsibility for what happens, or they're just not able to understand it or why it happened. So you have to understand them and their personality type in order to work with them easier. There's a way to go about doing stuff like this, and it's called mirroring. So when you're working with somebody one-on-one, whether it's through a phone call or through an email, live chat, you want to mirror their communication style. This works really good in sales. It also works great in customer service and support as well. Because what you're going to be doing is building rapport with them while you work through a tough situation. Okay, I'm talking about tough situations here because these are the most crucial moments to build rapport. They're the hardest moments as well because your customer might be really upset with you. They might be emotionally charged. It might be easy for you to also lash back out at them, right? It's probably the worst possible moment that you can lash back out at them. Instead of lashing out at them, you should understand where they're coming from and try to mirror exactly the talking style or writing style that they have going to you. If they're writing really long emails, for instance, it's probably good to just give them a phone call, okay? And if they're writing really short emails, it's probably good to just write them a short email back, you know? If they're calling you, it's probably not a good idea to try to email and change the conversation to email because that person really likes to speak on the phone, you know? And, you know, really long emails, the problem with that is that you can spend all day typing out and crafting a beautiful email, but at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't really build rapport the same way it would be if you just spoke to the person. They're writing the email because they're afraid to call, or they just tried to call and nobody answered. And by writing that email, they're really upset, okay? And by just calling them, you're going to calm them down. and you're going to be able to work through things with them. And just know that every single customer is a human being just like you and I. They have the same problems, they have the same things bothering them, they have things going on with their life. Okay, some people have more money than others, and some people have more problems than others. Some people might just be having a bad day. All right, and so just have empathy for them and try to understand that situation. No matter what, just try to work through it with them. Okay? I usually tell my customer service team to have a $100 rule. If that order is messed up and it costs us under $100 to fix it, just fix it. It doesn't matter if we're out the profit or not, right? That's kind of a given at that point. If the order's totally messed up, we're going to be out the profit. But if it costs less than $100 to fix it, then that's okay. Because what we're going to be doing is saving the rapport that we had with that customer through that $100. We're going to be buying back our goodwill with that person. Because at that point, our goodwill is kind of ruined and tarnished. But we can buy it back, right? And instead of having that person go online and leave a bunch of negative reviews on Facebook or, you know, third party or forums or whatever, that person will actually like us and refer us to the friends in the future. Might even buy a second whatever it was from us or be okay with a replacement, that kind of stuff. Now this kind of goes back and forth a lot sometimes, but you have to just work through it with people, okay? So customer service and the fulfillment process for high-ticket dropshipping is fairly simple, right? It works just, you know, the way you understand dropshipping. You get an account with a supplier, right? You work with them, you build rapport with your supplier first. That's the first place you're going to be doing customer service-like stuff is building rapport with your supplier. And then you're going to take their products, put them on your website, optimize them, and sell them. Once a customer buys a product from your website and you have their money, now it's time for you to send a purchase order to your supplier. You also should have a credit card on file with them already, so it's easy for them to charge your card. And at that point, the supplier will ship the product out directly to your customer for you. Okay? They'll charge your card, and you take the money the customer paid you and pay off your bank with it and your credit card, and you're good to go. You keep the profit. So if all goes well, if all goes smoothly, either two things will happen. One, you won't hear from the customer again. That's pretty common. Customers get their product and they're cool with it. Two, they might come back and order more from you if they're happy, right? And that's ideal. And three, they might go and refer you to their friends and make a video testimonial and all this other stuff, which is awesome. That's the best thing that could possibly happen. And you should have follow-up automations like email sequences that send them emails that try to get them to become fans of yours. Because a customer that is happy with their experience is in an emotional state of love for you and your business. So you should take advantage of that and get them to create some positive review materials and also refer you to their friends if possible. All right, and then ideally, you know, that's how it would go down. The less ideal situation is if something happens. The first thing that usually happens is maybe a product is out of stock, okay? And it's not expected back for a week or up to like a month or maybe sometimes longer, 2-3 months, or there's just no ETA yet. You know, every supplier is different. Some suppliers have really good inventory stocking procedures and they order their stock ahead of time and they keep track of everything and they always have things in stock. Those are the best suppliers to work with. Products are profitable, products are in stock. Perfect. I love those suppliers, my favorite. But more common is that you'll find suppliers that have a ton of orders all the time from different dealers, right? And they're constantly running out of stock on different SKUs, and they have to reorder those, okay? In some industries, especially like the new technology industries, this is pretty common. And because of that, it's very difficult for them to always be keeping track of stock. So you might get orders fairly often, even if you are updating your website with their stock sheets that are still backordered. And they might be 1 or 2 weeks, they might be longer. So you have to have a good process and a good template, communication template, either email or phone call or both, for following up with customers and letting them know. You know, first and foremost, you just want to tell them that, like, we love you guys. Thank you so much for ordering with us. That's the first thing you tell them, because that gets them into a emotional state of gratitude. Okay, it's like, oh, you love me? Well, I love you guys too. That's how you should always start every communication off. Hey, thanks so much for ordering. Just wanted to say again that, you know, every customer means the world to us. Thank you so much. Okay, when you start off a communication like that, it just builds rapport. Okay, and it builds gratitude and it starts the conversation off really good. It doesn't like start it off where it's like, I'm sorry to have to send you this email, but, you know, because then that kind of gets them into this like, oh, something's happening. I'm at a loss. That's the worst way to start an email, okay? Don't ever start communication like that. I regret to inform you that, you know, it just sounds really, I don't know, unfriendly, okay? Bottom line. And you want to be friendly with your customers. So the best thing to do is to send them an email or a phone call and just say, you know, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Here's what's happening. Okay, your order, as of the time of ordering, the system showed it in stock, but they're so popular that, you know, they're selling like crazy right now. And unfortunately, we've shipped the last few units right before you ordered, so our systems weren't up to date. And it kind of clears you of the responsibility of updating your website. Because that's the first time, a lot of customers will ask that, like, well, why wasn't your website updated? Well, that's it, because things are just flying in and out all the time. You know, even the suppliers don't update their stock sheets constantly enough to keep track of the stock, unfortunately. Okay, and you have to deal with that, so just pass that on. Don't tell them anything about your supplier. As far as they know, they're ordering from you in your warehouse, okay? You don't need to tell them about your supplier. My supplier is out of stock. Don't tell them that, okay? Take responsibility. And, you know, be friendly about it. And also, don't make them feel like they're losing anything. Make them feel like, if anything, they're gaining something, okay? Instead of saying, hey, it's out of stock, or you get it in a couple of weeks, are you okay? Tell them, it's out of stock, but we're getting a fresh new batch of the newest version of that product, and it's coming back in 1 week or 2 weeks, whatever the ETA is your supplier gave you, okay? Or if your supplier didn't give you an ETA, we don't have an ETA yet, but we hope that it will be back. And hope is a great word, because hope is something that everybody understands, and hope is something that means that it could come back sooner than later, okay? You can always use that. You know, this is the ETA, but it could come back sooner than later. Could and hope and might are great words to use in business communication, because they aren't clear end dates, okay? They're not holding you to anything. They're not promissory at all. Could, might, hope, and, you know, maybe, you know, things like this are great, okay? Customers will understand that it's like up in the air still, okay? It's to be determined, TBD. And that's a great thing to do, because if you promise your customer 2 weeks and that order doesn't actually arrive and it doesn't arrive for another week, and then it doesn't ship for a week after that, customers get livid sometimes. It's crazy what customers will do. And they'll say weird things to you. You know, you're a terrible person and you should run a better business. All this stuff. They have, you know, all this advice for you as a business owner. Well, fact is, we're dropshippers, right? So we have to rely on our suppliers for their stock and their inventory. And if they don't have a clear system, or maybe just things get hung up, sometimes for the supplier, it's really tough too, because sometimes, you know, a shipment might get hung up at the port, you know, and like they're doing inspections and the inspections last longer than usual. And they don't really hear anything from the shipping companies in the port until like a week later, because that's just how it works out there. Okay. You know, ports are state run, government run, and they're regulated because they want to make sure that there's no merchandise coming in that's counterfeit. They want to make sure nobody's transporting drugs or paraphernalia or, like, you know, anything bad is coming to that port. So they have to inspect things. And certain products, like batteries, for instance, need longer inspection times because lithium-ion batteries are known to explode if they're not made correctly, okay? So they need to inspect these products. All right, so, you know, just understand that and work through it with your customer. Offer them, you know, a probable outcome that's good for them. Let them know that it's better this way than it was before because they're getting a brand new version of it, which may or may not be true, but it is a brand new unit, right? And it's the newest one. It's newer than the one that came before, so hopefully it's better. You know, and it's just a way to get them excited about it and know that, okay, no matter what. And here's the thing. If they give you trouble about it, they want to cancel their order or whatever. Number one, when someone wants to cancel their order, you don't have to cancel it right away. You can still go back to them and say, hey, instead of canceling, why don't you go with this alternative product? But you can, of course, do that ahead of time. Say, hey, if you don't want to keep this order, you could do it in that original email too. Here's a couple alternatives for you. That's a great option as well. Or you can just say, hey, are you willing to wait? You know, some people are willing to wait, especially if it's 1 week. Yeah, it's fine. 2 weeks, it's no big deal. 3 weeks, it's good. Longer than a month, I usually say, okay, it's longer than a month, so I don't know if you're going to really be willing to wait. You know, if it was me, I don't know if I'd be willing to wait. So here are some alternative products that, you know, are the same style or same, you know, whatever, same features. And then, you know, these might fit your needs as well. And they go through those and probably select an alternative, whether it's more money or less money. If it's more money, offer them some sort of a discount, okay? Less than 5% is usually adequate. And if it's less money, you know, obviously refund them the difference. And if they continue to give you trouble about it, or if they're upset, you know, some customers will be upset. Some customers will just try to take advantage of you as a business and try to say, hey, well, can you give me a discount because you're out of stock, or give me something else for free and make up for it, you know? Some shoppers are really good negotiators like that. And it's up to you whether you want to do that or not. You know, if you want to be a tough negotiator too, you say, no, I'm sorry, but we can ship it out when it's here. And some people will just have to put up with it. But if you want to be a friendly person and, you know, try to make, you know, somebody really happy, be like, well, here's the thing, we can offer you this and this and this. Maybe you can provide something that's already free for you, like an extended warranty possibly, or a gift card towards your store for their future orders. That's an awesome idea too. Maybe like an ebook or a digital download of some sort. Or some sort of, maybe if there's like insurance they can buy that's really cheap or something like that, you know, that you can get at a dealer discount. Offer them some sort of a free gift with a high value but a low cost to you. Okay, and that'll go way farther than just throwing cash at them, because it's a little bit more creative and they like it. Like, even if you can find a product that you can say value is $50 and only cost you $10, that's perfect. Just throw that free gift at them. Say you give them $50 worth of this or that accessory, and it only costs you $10. So you're saving money and you're making them happy. Okay. All right. So, you know, once you're order processes get down really good. The one thing you want to do to really build your business is work on your sales skills and sales processes. Okay, you're going to be getting leads in all the time if you're running your ad campaigns, right? And you're doing, you know, social media marketing, and you're doing SEO and search engine organic marketing. Okay, you're building content and stuff like that. You're going to be getting leads in all the time, and these leads may or may not know what they already want. So they're going to email you, call you, live chat, whatever, and you've got to keep a list of all these leads and know what they want, know exactly what the next stage in their journey is. Where are they at? Are they at the product category level? They don't know what brand or product they want yet. Are they at the brand level? They don't know what product they want yet. Are they at the product level? And they just aren't quite sure that you need to push them over the fence. Are they shopping around and trying to get the best deal somewhere? So when a lead comes in, you need to kind of, you know, filter them and ask them a few questions that are really important. Like, what are you interested in? You know, what is your budget? And, you know, what exactly are your needs? And this depends on your niche, right? Like, some niches, their needs might be, you know, outdoors. Some niches, they might be indoors. Some niches, they might be trying to, you know, do something for their business. Other niches, they might be trying to do something for their pets. You know, like, niches are all over the place. So they just have to, like, define that for your particular niche market and ask them the question, like, what kind of problem are you trying to solve? And, you know, what kind of needs do you have? And if you can ask those, you know, questions and get an answer, it builds rapport with your customer because they know that you care. It's empathy, right? And that's good. So they're more likely to do business with you at that point. You're gaining kind of like points in their mind. And then at that point, you can guide them to what's the right product for them. Okay, this is called solution selling. So what you're doing is you're looking for the problem, you're diving deeper with them, you're asking them open-ended questions that lead them to give you information about them and their needs and their lifestyle, whatever it is pertaining to your niche market. And then you can guide them to the best solution, the best product that solves their problem. Okay? And then you can continue the conversation and ask them, okay, great, does this product look like something that you'd be interested in getting today? And they might say yes, they might say no, they might say they need to do a little shopping around. Here's a few other options if they want to do a little more shopping around. Which one of those looks like the best product for you? You're always asking these questions that kind of pry at them and try to get them to make a decision. That's the best way to move a sales call or a sales conversation along to the next step, is trying to get them to make a decision on a particular product right then and there, instead of waiting and coming back later. Bottom line, most people, 98% of your customers are going to come to your website and leave. Okay? And those people might go to somewhere else. They might just wait longer, come back and order. Who knows? But a lot of them are going to go to other retailers and buy, right? So you will almost 100% lose every single order from a lead that leaves you, leaves that conversation. So just know that if you let that lead leave the conversation without buying something from you, most likely they're going to go somewhere else and buy something. Okay. And this is where follow-up comes in handy. Now you can create automated processes for follow-up that are really good, like email marketing follow-up, Facebook ad follow-up, Google Ads follow-up, things like that, automated marketing messages, but it's automated still. It's not a personal message. It's not a personal like email or phone call. The best way to get people to buy high-ticket products online is to follow up with a phone call or a personal email. Okay? Start a conversation that's personal with them. And this is what a really good salesman does. Every single day, they look through like their abandoned carts. They look through all their past leads. And they follow up with every single one. Ask them, have you made a decision yet on their product? Have you figured out which product is right for you? You know, come back. Are you ready to buy that product yet? You know, what's holding you back from buying the product? Is it this, that, or the other thing? You know, is it just not the right time? Do you not have the money? Do you need financing? Do you need more information from us and past like customer testimonials to trust our business enough to buy from us? Do you want to have another conversation with me? You know, and you can call it a free consultation if you want. This is available. You can use an app like Calendly and set up 15-minute calls available for your customers, free consultations, and you know. Schedule these calls, especially if you're dealing with business to business or business to government, or even just consumers that buy over and over again for some reason or another. You want to establish rapport with these people and establish an open communication line so that they can come back to you and order over and over and over again. Because you're a dealer, just like a distributor, you can have dealers work under you or like businesses work under you. Okay, so make open communication lines, you know, offer them a bulk discount, that kind of thing, and get these leads going. The best thing to do is to work on your sales closes, let's just call it, okay? And there's a lot of different ways to close a sale. The best way to do it is start with trial closes, okay? Trial closing is just basically getting someone to say yes. So you ask them a series of questions, you know, does this look like the right thing for you? Yes? Okay, well, that was a trial close. If that looks like the best thing for you, we can move on to the next stage and ask, okay, great. Well, would you like blue, red, or black, or whatever, you know, variant it is? And if they actually, and that tries to get them to make a decision. If they can make that decision, then it looks like, okay, well, they're ready. And they can stop worrying about, you know, this or that. They know the right product for them. They know what color they want or whatever feature is, variant that they want. Next stage. Okay, great. Would you like to pay with a Visa, MasterCard, American Express, you know, that kind of thing? And it just moves them on to the next step, okay? Now, when you take an order over the phone, you can put all the information into a notepad. I recommend doing that. You can also go through your own Shopify checkout as if you were the customer and enter their information in at the same time. Copy and paste it to a little notepad on your computer. I usually do that because what happens sometimes is that the customer will give you the credit card and it declines and you can't re-enter that credit card information to try again, right? Maybe it's like their bank, they need to call their bank again or something like that. So it's really easy just to copy and paste it to a notepad. Of course, you want to make sure it's secure, so don't put it online anywhere, but keep it on your notepad on your desktop. And then from there, customer says, okay, you can charge the card again. It's a lot easier just to go put the same information back than to ask them, okay, well, I need your card information again. Can you call me? And that just, you know, creates more friction in the sales process. So that's what I usually do. It works out really well. And, you know, sometimes there might be just issues with like the IP address not working or, you know, the billing address not being correct or whatever. So you just confirm everything with them and, you know, and then as soon as the order goes through, of course, you want to confirm all the delivery and shipping time stuff and ask them, you know, once you get your product, can you please make a testimonial for us, that kind of thing. And just try to build rapport some more. Ask them about their lives. Ask them about them, you know, ask them about the place that they're in and what it's like living there, whatever, you know, just make a friend, okay? Because friends and fans are the best people to keep in business, okay? Because they order from you in the long run, they refer people to you in the long run. You know, there's a ton of other different ways to close a sale. The best ways, guys, is just to push people along. Ask them if it's the right product for them, yes or no. Have they made that decision yet? Yes? Okay, great, move on. If they have not, okay, let's look at some other alternatives until we come to a decision. And let's make it now because we have some, like, you know, discounts that are ending right now. We have a countdown timer. When that timer ends, that discount's over, you're going to miss out. Or, you know, we have some free gifts offering right now. We're actually going to be taking those off soon. Let's make some, you know, urgency. Let's make some scarcity. We only have a few more of these products left. They're going to run out of stock soon. Don't miss out. You can say that kind of stuff over the phone because that's exactly what your website should be saying. As long as your website's saying that, say it over the phone too, because that is going to build upon that and they'll believe it more because now they're hearing it from you. It must be real. Okay, and that's going to push the sales process along. And just let them know, like, if they haven't trusted you yet, just build rapport more. You know, explain a little bit about yourself and why you started the website. Maybe show them some customer testimonials and social proof. That's one of the best ways to build trust. Okay, somebody else trusts that site. A bunch of other people trust that site. Great, then I can trust that site too. That's what's going through their mind before they make a purchasing decision. You know, they want to know if they can know, like, and trust you and trust you to come through and provide a good product. And if something goes wrong, that you're going to actually do good customer support, okay? So that's where they're looking for social proof. That's why it's great to get reviews. I hope this video was helpful, guys, really. Just understand that in the beginning, yes, you're going to have to do your own customer service and sales. It's a really good idea to get good at it now as opposed to, you know, starting your website and then realizing, oh, I hate customer service and sales, and this isn't going to work out for me. You just went through all that, and then you just realize you don't want to do customer service and sales. That's kind of silly. Okay, if you don't want to do customer service and sales, you know, do something else. Do affiliate marketing, right? A business model where you can just create content, and then people will comment on that content, and some people will order through your referral link. Okay, that's how affiliate marketing works. And it's kind of like doing customer service too, because when people comment on your content, maybe your review article or something like that, you're going to reply back to them and offer them some advice according to that thing. So it's just like doing customer service. So it's almost like every business model that you do online, whatever you're selling, you're going to have to do some level of customer service and sales in order to make money. Okay, just part of the process. But yeah, dropshipping specifically really requires you to be a good customer service rep, or you're going to burn your bridges with your suppliers, right? You're going to just totally burn that relationship. You're going to burn relationships with your customers, you get bad reviews online, and you're just eventually going to go out of business. So I recommend doing as much as you can to provide the best customer support, and be a good salesman. That'll drive your business forward way faster than anything else will. All right. And yeah, if you're looking for step-by-step training on all this stuff, I have a whole module on customer service and sales and management in my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass. Okay. So it's a great course to get into. It's 35 modules, tons of information, in-depth, you know, over-the-shoulder tutorials and things like that for getting started, you know, building and then launching, running and scaling a high-ticket dropshipping business. I even talk about how to sell and invest in high-ticket dropshipping stores, how to, you know, travel hack and stuff like that. There's tons of information in there. So don't miss out, guys. It's only available periodically from time to time. If you go to ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass, and it's actually available when you go there, you should get in there because it's probably going to close down again soon. I'm always adding new content to it. So definitely don't miss out. Take advantage of that. And I also have a done-for-you offer that's available with that. It's called my Turnkey Shopify Stores and my Business in a Box service. You can check that out at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. All the information's on the website, where me and my team build you an entire business, or just hook you up with a starter store so you can build it yourself from there. Okay, it makes it a lot easier for you. And I have the best theme for Shopify that's pre-built with content, optimized for SEO, and it's a theme you won't find anywhere else. And only available from e-commerce paradise, okay, through Shoptimized. And we work in partnership to offer you this theme that is one of the best for high-ticket dropshipping. Highly recommend getting in there, guys. If anything, just subscribe to my content and keep sharing it with your audience, please. And leave a review on iTunes. My iTunes podcast is growing, and I'm excited to bring more content to that. You can go to ecommerceparadise.com/podcast. Link is below in the description. And leave a review there. Appreciate every review I get. Thank you so much. Helps me to reach more people and to help more people. I look forward to helping you become successful with high-ticket dropshipping, and I'll see you in the next video.